Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello everyone everywhere, this is Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Welcome back to part two of my interview with Bishop Ken Giles and his wife Sheila Pastor Giles, and they are... We're talking today about their book called Prayers, Marriage, and the Leadership Roles of the Husband and Wife. And I don't want to take any, too much time because we got a lot to cover in the interview, but I'm going to ask him about what he considers the dominating spirit that Eve must have had in the Garden of Eden. So we'll jump right back in at that question.
Well, it goes back to what I stated earlier regarding Genesis 2, verses 15 through 18. God gave Adam an assignment. He gave him a purpose. He gave him a command. And then he brought forth the woman. He said in verse 18, it was not good for Adam to be alone. And so therein comes the woman of God, the helper, that is suitable, that is corresponding with Adam to be able to strengthen and encourage and enable him to do God's will. So the woman's leadership role is to, if you will, ensure that the man of God is functioning properly in his leadership role and that he has all of the resources needed and necessary at his disposal to accomplish God's will. In this particular case from Scripture, we see that Eve's decision didn't have anything to do with Adam or assisting or helping or enabling him to carry out God's will in his life. In effect, Eve was carrying out her own agenda, and it was a direct result of listening to the wrong voice. And one of the things we communicate from this aspect of the book is that there's only two voices in the earth, and that is God's voice and Satan's voice, because there's only two words in there, God's word and the word from Satan. It doesn't matter who's speaking either. It's evident what is God's word because it'll line up with Holy Scripture, and it's evident what is Satan's word because it'll always contradict or go against Scripture. And this particular case, in the third chapter of Genesis, God had given Adam instruction. Satan comes along and speaks to Eve, and she acts on Satan's word. Because the word a person acts on, if you will, gives them their perspective. God told them that the tree, they would surely die if they ate of the fruit. Satan told her she wouldn't die, so the verse 6 of that third chapter then says, and Eve saw the tree, that it was good for food and delightful to the eyes and desirable to make one wise. All of a sudden, the tree was everything other than what God said because it's the perspective. And the dominating aspect of what took place is that she started carrying out a different vision, a different agenda. And not only did she carry out a different agenda, but she took it a step further by basically having Adam join her in the vision that she had and in the agenda that Satan indeed had given her. And so from that perspective, that operated in a dominating aspect to lead the man rather than have the man in his headship role provide that leadership in his God-given capacity, with the woman of God at his side anchoring him to ensure that God's will was done.
Yeah, amen. Now, what are the key points that you would like your readers to obtain from reading this book?
The most important thing, or really three things that we would want readers to get from this. Number one, that we are created by God as human beings, and the institutions that we have the privilege of being a part of, marriage and family in particular, were created by God. Mm-hmm. And thus, there's no one but God who knows how they are to properly work.
Yeah.
And there's no one but God that if they're broken, who can fix them. And that fixing is done through his word. So we want them to understand that what is God created can only be God repaired, God fixed. Okay.
Yeah, amen.
Number two, we want to emphasize in this book is the importance of prayer, being in step with God based on his plan, based on the institutions that he has established, and that they would have the order that he established them with and that he has purposed for them to have.
Mm-hmm.
Thirdly and lastly, that by lining up with God and his word, carrying out life and marriage and family according to God's word and his order is what ushers in the peace, the prosperity, and the blessing that God has not only purposed for the individual and the marriage, but for the family and the generation. If they can get that and be able to receive God's word, we know that God will get the glory and they will be greatly blessed.
Yeah.
And so will the generations and countless others.
Amen. Amen. Now, Pastor Sheila, you're not jumping in here. You're letting him do all the talking now.
Doing a great job.
As far as the women who will read this book, what key points were you wanting them to obtain from reading the book?
Well, first thing that comes to mind is that God's order ushers in God's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
To follow the word of God will direct us in the direction that we need to go, that will bring blessings, that will bring the peace. Many women are hurting in marriages, even in ministry. And what we have found through counseling is that it's a simple fix. Maybe not simple to do, but it's to follow God's word. It's not a lot of preaching. There's not a lot of word going forth that ministers to women the word of God concerning the husband being the head of woman. There's not a lot of it out there, but here it is in the word, and it's a fix. Because when we're in line with God, he releases his blessing.
Mm-hmm.
It can eliminate a lot of hurt and pain. I'm going to tell you, I'm blessed. I am glad that I have a head. I don't have a problem submitting to my husband. One, because the word says so. And in our society here in America, we can choose the women. I got a lot to say here, but I'm gonna narrow it down. But God ain't cutting me loose. But here in America, women, unlike the Middle East, so to speak, we can choose who we marry.
Yeah.
Okay, is that correct? We can
That's
say
correct.
No. I don't want to marry you.
So. Amen.
That what we're finding is that in our counseling, our training program, as we're teaching this word that God has given us, because yes, it's in a book form, but it is a clarion call to prayer and marriage, and it's a word of God going out throughout the earth. This much we do know, but as we release this word of God, we're training and teaching those that have married before and those that are married before that God gives us a criteria.
Mm-hmm.
He gives us a
Amen.
Criteria that will leave us blessed.
Yeah.
That, you know, in the word it talks about when Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord and becoming her children. If you do what is right, the word of God, without being frightened, without being afraid to follow God's word, Okay? So we can choose a man that loves the Lord, teaches, that obey, that is a man. That's the first thing right there. Amen. Choose something that you can submit to God, that you can do word the word what the word of God says for us to submit, so that we will not be afraid to do so.
Amen. So, amen.
That answered the question, but I was full. And the word of God says that he sent his word and he healed their diseases and delivered them from all their destruction.
Amen.
That's
amen.
What he took as the word of God being sent to heal the destruction and bring deliverance to marriages and families alike.
Amen. Now, I love the little survey that y'all included at the end, you know, the little self-assessment. And I haven't had time to complete mine, but I've scanned it. Just the questions are so interesting. How'd you come up with the concept of the self-questionnaire?
Basically, with the inventory and you know, questionnaire here, we wanted to obtain what we call diagnostic questions, because we needed something that could not only give insight to the individual, but whoever was doing the counseling, because the measuring point for every thought, every decision, for every believer is the Word of God. So we ask questions that would allow the individual as well as the counselor to ascertain whether that person, whether that individual, whether that marriage was properly aligned with God and his word, right, thus his order, so that, you know, we would be able to assess whether the blessing, if you will, could enter in and make sure that the curse was, you know, was kept out.
Amen. Amen. That's, I mean, it's an awesome survey. The questions in there are very pointed, direct, and I love it. I love it. Now, how would you like to see this book impact marriages, especially in America, today?
Wow. Real simple. Pastor Sheila Giles has already said it, and that is to just see God's people conduct life as it relates to God's ways. You know, Isaiah 55 says that, reveals to us that God's thoughts are not our thoughts, nor his ways our ways, and that as high as the heavens are from the earth, so is God's thoughts from our thoughts and his ways from our ways. And so through intimacy of relationship, we as God's people, even through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, are able to learn the ways of God through the Word of God and as we're led by the Spirit of God. In Scripture, it states concerning Moses that the children of Israel knew the acts of God, but Moses knew his way.
Amen.
Intimacy comes through relationship with God. That's what Moses had with God. And that's what we have the privilege as Christians, as believers worldwide, because the veil of the temple is rent. Because this Christ is our advocate and has given us access to God through his shed blood on Calvary's cross. And as a result of that, we can now have a personal relationship with God. And we don't have to wait for a man who is a high priest to go up once a year and offer sacrifice for us, because Jesus Christ is our sacrifice.
Amen.
And as a result of that, we have a personal relationship with him. And so we just want to encourage every individual and every marriage and every family to take advantage that God, all that God predestined for them and purposed for them and has promised them. It is the wealth that the world itself cannot contain in the person of Christ. And so that's what we want to encourage and what our prayer is for.
Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right, Bishop, we're about out of time, but I want to know if you are ready for the lightning round.
We are ready for the lightning round.
Again, these are taken from a group of questions that I've received over the years, and other ministers and pastors I've talked to, they've been asked these questions, and I've got a list of them, and we're only going to go over a couple. Question number one, how can you know that heaven is for real?
That is a great question. Two parts we would answer that. Number one, because God reveals it in his word. And faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So through faith, we not only accept Christ and God our Father, but what he has revealed and what he has spoken by his Spirit as recorded in Scripture. So that's the first way. The second way that we can know that heaven is real is from the evidence as well as the testimony. Evidence in the sense that every day our scientists, they're learning more and more. They used to think that it was just 9 planets, and now they're finding out solar systems beyond the solar system and beyond those solar systems.
Yep.
And so just the evidence alone of the expanse, if you will, of the universe testifies to the creation of God. And even when the scientists look through the sophistication of powerful telescopes, they can only come up with one conclusion, and that is that there's intelligent design. And so just from the evidence alone, we know that that indeed God has created exactly what he has said. And of course, there's the witness of many who have testified, including John, who was on the Isle of Patmos, and others throughout Scripture. Paul, who was caught up in the heavens. As well as individuals who testify and who've had medical, documented medical situations where they have experienced interaction with God. So from the evidence and the testimony alone, yes, heaven is indeed real.
All right. The second question is, how can you know for sure that there's really a hell and it's not something made up by Christians?
Once again, we're going to act on the word of God, and that's who we are, Christians. And you know, for the person who would say, okay, well, hey, just because it's in the Bible, well, 2 Timothy reveals to us that this word is inspired by God, that meaning God breathed. And so because we acknowledge God and God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as creation unfolds and God reveals that to us, we simply believe, we choose to believe the word of God. Scripture says, let God be true and every man be a liar. And so, and we found God to be true. And when we look at Scripture, once again, it's not only an inspired book, it's a book of history. And so all throughout the history of mankind, we can examine the accuracy of Scripture. So there's no reason to doubt God nor his word intellectually, nor from the standpoint of spiritually as it relates to God's word and all that's revealed there. Lastly, concerning the fact that there's a hell, there's always something opposite of the heaven, if you will. And so because we believe in heaven, based on what I've already articulated, we believe there's a hell as well, because there's a choice, and God revealed that choice to obey or disobey. And obedience ushers in the blessing, disobedience occurs, according to Deuteronomy 11, Deuteronomy 28 as well. And once again, because it is laid out in Scripture very clearly and certainly throughout the book of Revelation.
Amen. Okay. What major project are you working on right now?
This book. Yeah, we're really excited about this book. Really, we're doing several things simultaneously. As we shared before we got on the air, we planted a church here in Hempstead, Texas, Lincoln Bible Church. We're just extremely excited about what God is up to. Yeah. This is basically rural suburban to the greater Houston metropolitan area here in Texas. And so we're excited about what God is doing with this vision ministry and work. Also, we have launched over the past few years, and it's just getting larger and larger, a Christian marriage and family counseling center, to where we counsel families, marriages and families, individuals, as well as couples that are yet to be married. We get a chance to do that.
Amen.
And then we also certify Christian counselors. We get a chance to certify individuals, ministers, preachers, pastors from different parts of the Houston area. Matter of fact, some of them drive from as far as near the Dallas area, College State, all kind of around. They drive to our training courses, certification programs that we have. And so we're just glad to have that.
But it's not a lot of counseling.
I really appreciate you saying it, because Pastor Giles was just indicating the fact that there's, when it comes to the church, there's either feast or famine when it comes to Christian marriage and family counseling. Either there's none at all, or either there is some, and it's normally done within the church and just for the membership. But what God has done us is He has us not only doing it within the church here at Lincoln Bible Church, but He has us, if you will, teaching and raising up others that's a part of other congregations in order to equip them to do that in their churches and their communities, no matter where they're at. And so we just feel very, very fortunate to be in service of the Lord in that respect.
Amen. This next question, I think I know the answer, but I'm going to ask it anyway. What is your favorite ministry program on television?
Okay. Well, of course, Pastor Tony Evans is on radio on
that's,
every day.
That's the one I figured,
television, so he does a little television as well. But Pastor Tony Evans, of course, in our estimation, and it may be biased, but we believe he's one of the greatest expositors of our day.
Uh-huh. Amen.
And there are others. We enjoy listening to what's one out of Atlanta. Yeah, Dr. Stanley.
Mm-hmm.
And we also occasionally, I mean, just TBN as a whole. I mean, we really bless the Lord for the work that you know, Paul and Jan, and now their sons are doing. How God is using the body of Christ as a whole to reach the earth with the gospel. We're full supporters of all of that.
Okay. Next one is, why do bad things happen to good people?
Well, the scripture says that the sun shines on the just and the unjust. That would also lead us to believe that using the analogy of sun meaning good things, and there's also some rain meaning some bad things that can happen to good and bad people. And we see that happening throughout scripture. But Romans 8:28 says that all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. We can see that throughout scripture, just to mention Joseph's situation. And we tell people to have a victor mindset and mentality, not a victim mindset and mentality. There were a lot of bad things that happened to Joseph, the hateful attitudes and actions of his brothers, where they sought to kill him, threw him in a pit, sold him into slavery. The man ended up in Potiphar's house as a slave, ended up in prison there in the nation because somebody lied on him. I mean, man, he could have been a woe is me kind of guy again and again. But that's not what we see for two reasons. Number one, the scripture says that God was with Joseph. And number one, we also see that everything that Joseph did was done in excellence, whether he was in Potiphar's house, he was in charge of everything, whether he was in the prison, he was given charge of everything. And what he did, the scripture says that the jailer, if you will, or the person in the prison did not even bother to check those things because of the excellence of Joseph. So yes, bad things can happen to good people, but once again, God is always working things together for our good. And so it's out of a trust relationship that we know that no matter what God is up to, we know that it's great in our lives. Amen. And we're thanking for that.
Amen. Last question. If you woke up tomorrow and realized your entire life was just a dream, but God allowed you to retain all the memories and everything that happened, what would you do differently? How would you do it, and why?
Wow.
I get the same pause every time I ask that question.
Well, I tell you what, that is a powerful question. You know, throughout Scripture, Pastor Thibodeau, God gave men dreams. When Solomon got ready to take over the kingdom, God came to him in a dream. And so many times things are dreamed out, and there are others that we see throughout Scripture that woke up and in effect it was a dream. But dreams are revelations, and revelations are real things. So the fact that a person's entire life would have consisted as a dream, not only would it have been revelation from God, but it would be an opportunity to if you will, correct. Things that mistakes that have been made, and so I would be humble. I'm sure Pastor Sheila Giles would speak for herself, would be humble enough to receive the revelation and make sure that we were careful to do God's word and will in everything, and trust Him to fix what is broken as only He could.
Amen. All right. Well, Bishop, I appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule again to join us today. I take it your book is on Amazon. Is that right?
Yes, it is on Amazon.com, and we also have it on our website.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask.
Yep. Yeah, BishopKenGiles.org. It's Bishop Ken, KENGILES.org.
Okay. All right.
Bishop.org.
All right, and if someone wanted to get a hold of you, maybe to ask a question, reach out to you, how can they do that?
They can do so by email at info@lbchouston.org, info@lbchouston.org, and they can also reach us by phone at 832-248-0768, 832-248-0768.
All right. Well, Bishop and Pastor, I appreciate your time. I wish you the best of sales. God's blessings upon this book. And, you know, it's needful in this day and time. And I just appreciate y'all taking the time to write it and then share it with the world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very
Amen.
Much.
Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today. And again, I highly encourage you to go on Amazon, go on the website, BishopKenGiles.org, and order this book. Just hand it to someone that you know is engaged and they're starting the process of getting married. You know, just use it. And it is. I've gone through it. I've highlighted the heck out of this book because it's full, chock full of good information. And again, Bishop, Pastor, I appreciate you all writing it and sharing it with the world. Folks, that's all the time we have for Bishop Ken Giles, Pastor Sheila Giles. This is Pastor Bob Tua reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.